What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
The voice is weak, but the spirit is strong, and we'll be at Twin Peaks in Buckhead tomorrow, 2 to 7. Join the party, pal. And again, thanks everybody who showed up yesterday. Great crowd at Buffalo's Cafe. And we want to get to more parts of town. I know everybody on the south side, I keep telling them, someday, some way, we will be down there, Jonesboro, and we get down there, and you guys come and see us, and we're working on it. We talk to the bosses all the time.
Yes, we do.
So hopefully you guys will get us over there.
We're trying to be all over the city as much as possible, man, because it's all about getting out and meeting you guys and hanging out with you guys, and that's what it's about. Have you seen any Ohio State fans yet? I was thinking about this yesterday.
Right.
I know you are in Midtown.
Figure they roll in Friday. But the Monday, maybe they roll in Friday, some Saturday, you know, do the usual stuff, aquarium, College Football Hall of Fame.
Correct. Well, you know. And with Monday being a holiday, Mike, I think a lot of people, certainly from the Midwest, trying to get away from that cold, they want to come down and see the game if they're Notre Dame or Ohio State fans. But I was just thinking about that yesterday. Like, wonder how early they're rolling in here to take advantage of, like, a long weekend. But it's going to be great for the city because you said it. Those folks drink.
Yeah, man. Notre Dame, they bring the heat. They got some coin, man. They're well-heeled. And certainly Ohio State, you know, that's a fabulous fan base. And some folks may just be here for the party even if they can't get into Mercedes-Benz. Tickets are through the roof. Just for blanks and giggles, I was on StubHub the other day. Like, the seats that I have for the Falcon games are going for like $2,000.
Wow.
So it's like, good Lord. Could you imagine being near the field? Yeah, I was like, you got to be kidding me on that one. This hour of the show, guys, brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. I'm going to just look it up again one more time, see what that says. Right now, though, it's time for an NFL Blitz. You got a guy you like off the top of your head for the DC? It's just all the names that we've been associated with? I mean, Steve Wilkes I'm cool with. I like Wink Martindale for the reasons we said at the top of the hour.
I just think when you have a guy that stresses offenses – and that's his history, right? He was with Michigan last year, guys. He just, you know, got away from the NFL. He's an NFL guy. That is kind of what I think we need, Mike, when we talk about creating havoc. And I like his philosophy, but I do like Steve Wilkes a lot. And I think also, you know, Steve Wilkes got a bad situation that he was in with the 49ers. I thought he was the scapegoat of that 49er game that they lost in the Super Bowl. Steve Wilkes has been a quality DC. I said this a few years ago. I thought he should have gotten the Carolina job. I thought he did a hell of a job with the Carolina team that just was going nowhere. And he took over, and they were competitive, and they played hard. Now, he did have some guys on that defense. We know about Derrick Brown and some other guys. But I do like him a lot. But I also like the aggressive style that Wink Martindale brings. And that's why, you know, I think I'd have him high on my list. But if you ask me right now, I would tell you that's where I'm leaning right now would be Steve Wilkes.
And for those who don't remember what happened there, the beef, and I'm reading an article from the San Francisco Chronicle. This is from back when it happened a couple years back. Basically, that they were giving up too much in the run game in the playoffs. And that was the concern for Shanahan and for John Lynch. They said run defense getting gashed by Green Bay, Detroit, the first two playoff games. Coaches and players questioned the effort given. Interesting. Niners came up short. Remember, they squashed Kansas City, held them to 6 points in the first 9 possessions.
Yep.
And then it was like a floodgate. And then guys out of position. And I guess sometimes when you have great edge rush and pass rush, you go right at it. And that's kind of what the Chiefs did.
So what's interesting about that, Mike, that defense is loaded with stars. It's why they were in the Super Bowl. It's why they've been so good. Fred Warner, Bosa. We can go down the list. At you know, the last 3 years, guys, they've had one of, if not the best linebacking cores in the National Football League. Motivated. Everybody's paid on this defense.
Right.
And you're telling me that, you've got motivation issues? Like, that's not on Steve Wilks. I think more than anything, Shanahan was looking – first of all, I think when he hired him, Mike, it was like, okay, this is the guy that you need because he has experience. I don't know if it's who he wanted.
Yeah.
And then when things went down the way they did, that's the picture you paint. I don't think that's a fair assessment, but either way, you said it. Falcons, judge him on what he's done, and you don't look just at that one instance and say, well, he's not any good.
I mean, as we said, we go, because just trying to figure it out. Now, Wink Martindale, some guys go, what do you want, Wink? Why? What's the problem with Wink Martindale? He's good. And I also like the fact that I'm not saying you got to have a comfort level. Maybe that's a pie in the sky thing because Raheem doesn't have, maybe they don't laugh at the same jokes. Maybe they get along. But just a fresh set of eyes on the problem. I got to come in, and I have the impression with the Falcons sometimes it's everything's great. No. It's not.
Right.
And maybe some guys come in and say, that guy can't do the job you're asking him to do. So let's not pretend he can. One last nugget on Wilks and the 49ers. I just found this. Bosa said after the Super Bowl that the team was, quote, unprepared for Mahomes to keep the ball on key runs that led to first downs. Really?
Who is?
That's what he does to every freaking buddy.
You guys show me the team that stopped him on these key runs where he just decides to scramble for 20, 40, or 30 yards, Mike, and score. Like, that's how he won the Super Bowl, by the way, against the Eagles. I mean, like, those are things that nobody – this is why dual-threat quarterbacks give you so many issues. It's why Michael Penix, when he decided to run the last week of the season, you're like, oh, he's going to pick that up? And he dove in the end zone? You can't defend – you're not trying to defend that, Mike. You're trying to defend 3 seconds of a play, and then it breaks down, and then you got these special guys – that do what they do.
Right. And, you know, Jaden Daniels, you saw at the end of that game against Tampa Bay. You know, they had two spies, and not one, but two, and then still taking it right up to the line, and, you know, guys trying to, you know, defenders still couldn't get him. And that crucial third down conversion, that's what you want. And, look, we don't have Jaden Daniels, but to your point, we've got a guy who's got more mobility. This is it's not Mike Vick, but Matt Ryan was, you know, remember we used to joke around about timing Matt with a sundial.
Yep.
You know, and Cousins, same thing. Now, this is a guy who does, even though despite the two knee surgeries, does have that burst. Hey, by the way, I looked it up. The cheapest ticket for right now,
okay,
for Monday night for the national championship is $1,378, and that is the very last sections that look down on like the Times Square area. So you know where it comes around on both sides.
Yeah.
So you'd be up there and, you know, kind of a corner of the end zone.
$1,378.
Yeah, $1,378 before you get into the charges.
Correct.
On stuff.
That's true.
By the time you get done, you're looking at $3,000.
Easy.
Easy. Or more.
Yeah.
So there you go. For two. So enjoy. By the
That's
way,
a lot.
I'm not sure. Jerry, he got us that suite when Georgia played Ohio State. My buddy's a huge Buckeye fan.
Yeah.
And I hadn't heard from him. So I guess the suite price is probably even crazier.
They went up. Now, listen, this is a moneymaker, man.
Right.
They'll make a lot of dough.
Yeah. And if you got your buddies, you got a business and you bring clients in, then you can write it off. I'm not telling Jerry how to do his job, but anyway. Love to get in there for that game.
Real quick, Jonathan Franklin, he hits us up. He says, Dukes and Bell, I've been working at the airport this week. Both OSU and Irish fans starting to arrive today.
Yeah.
Running from the snow. I'm just curious. Like, and again, you talk about these well-heeled boosters. We always make fun. We know both programs have a lot of money, right? There's a lot of support there. But, Mike, if you own one of these Madden buses, okay?
Right.
Or you got one of these Winnebagos and you're like, baby, we're out of here. We're going down. These folks come in 5-6 days early.
Right.
So I'm just telling you, like, it don't be surprised if you start seeing them and you're like, the game is Monday night.
You know me, man. I was making a fit and everybody's telling me, shut up. Steve, stop it, Mike. When I was saying, why couldn't we have the Hawks MLK Day game, you know, at like noon or 1 o'clock on MLK Day here in Atlanta? It's up at the Garden. Because again, you're going to see Winnebagos up in the Gold Lot. I don't think you're going to see Notre Dame Winnebagos in the CNN parking deck, okay? Number one, they won't fit. You know, but I still thought you could do the game. That's neither here nor there. This comes from Jason. You keep saying well-heeled. I think it's not a 20th century vernacular. Maybe it is. In other words, you got good heels on your shoes. You got money. Okay? Your shoes ain't falling apart. Well-heeled.
Correct.
See, you learned something, Chris. Yesterday we were talking music. Rob Tribble and I got on the subject of Baker Street. One dude hits up and goes, I always loved that song. Now I know the name. So if nothing else, Carl, we're providing a service today on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, we hope you learn something every day.
Hey, some NFL blitz for you on 4th and 1. The Ravens going to be maybe without Zay Flowers. Didn't practice today. So we've talked about, you know, him having more weapons, Lamar Jackson, than Josh Allen. But that's one that maybe doesn't go for the Ravens.
So that's why they ran the ball 499 yards last week. And not because they couldn't throw the football, but the Pittsburgh Steelers couldn't stop them. I don't know if the Buffalo Bills will be able to either, Mike. I love Ed Oliver. Thought, as a matter of fact, when he came out of the draft, we should have probably taken him. But he's smallish.
Right.
And when you're running the football the way the Ravens are right now, they're just beating people up front. So my point is, three tight ends, run the ball, stop us.
A lot of stuff about Sirianni and is he in control in Philadelphia? Article yesterday saying, yes, some people believe that they've weathered the storm. And just because you're, you know, wide receiver is reading a book on the sideline, that's not a reflection on his two doubt. He's just he's a unique talent, A.J. Brown.
That's right.
But what do you make of Sirianni? Because the thoughts were, if they had lost that first round of the Packers, which they did, they were in total control of that game, they were literally physically knocking the Packers out of that game, that he would have lost his job.
Well, I still think if they lose this weekend to the Rams, that people are going to want him fired. Because he's got the most talented roster in the National Football League. We talk about all those dogs that are playing up there. I think that the Eagles should be a team that's in the Super Bowl. It's just that simple. Mike, they've run off, what, 9-10 straight, right? Jalen was injured. They still found a way to win. If they screw this up against the Rams, people are still going to want Sirianni up out of there because they're going to say he can't get it done with all of this talent. So it's not over, even though they're saying he's in control. I'm not sure about that. I think he's the reason why I'm reluctant to take the Eagles. Because Sirianni has a tendency to do something wacky, right? And guys, listen, and the other thing about the Eagles, they're not scoring like the Lions. They're not scoring like the Ravens. They're winning, Mike, but they're not – defensively they're dominating you, but they're not scoring like that. You get into these games – Sean McVay, all of a sudden, Mike, they put up 28 on you. You got to score some points.
ESPN article saying Sirianni is a player's coach no matter what you think of him. So sometimes that's good. Sometimes you got to kick a guy in the butt. Sometimes you pat him on the back. Generally, it's in the NFL when you do have a player's coach. If he gets fired, he's followed by a disciplinarian.
That's right.
You know, or the guy's got a little more attitude. We'll see.
Guys do know, too, the Rams had 9 sacks last week.
And that's what I was talking about on Tuesday. Aaron Donald, the first game they played without Aaron Donald, they got 9 sacks. They drafted so well last year. They drafted so well this year. Braden Fisk, Jared Verse, that unbelievable scoop and score. I mean, they got athletes. That's Les Snead. We talk about Sean McVay is considered the smartest coach. I think the best in game, and I think Les Snead right now does an unbelievable job for him, and he's done it both ways. F those picks, or no, I'm going to draft and do it right.
You're right,
and they have.
No, you're right.
Hey man, one other nugget. Lamar Jackson. It's going to be cold in Buffalo. Here is the QB on the conditions.
Hopefully, we have some heaters on the sideline. Bigger jacket, probably. I got to talk to Kaniko to see what he got going on. Equipment guys, they pretty much do a great job though. So. We should be good.
But you don't do gloves under any circumstances.
No. I tried it in practice. I was horrible. Leave that up to Teddy, two gloves, Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah, man, I'm trying to win, so it really don't matter. I can't go into a game and be like, man, it's too cold. I can't make things happen. You know, coach, them probably send me home. Eric, them be probably trying to come, you know, have me go up there, upstairs and talk to him and stuff. So I got to lock in the cold.
That's it, baby. He did. I was also asked about Josh Allen. I'm going to paraphrase here because it's a long answer, but he basically says, I don't really chill with people in the offseason, especially other quarterbacks. Don't get me wrong. There's no problem, but we're trying to compete. I'm trying to beat you, not trying to be your friend. I love that.
Me too.
Meet on a golf course in a tournament, knock it out, shake hands, but otherwise go get them.
No, that's Magic and Bird, Mike.
Right.
That's I'm trying to beat you, man. I'm not trying to be on your team. And if in the offseason, if you know, once we get done with this thing, but I absolutely love it, too. That's interesting.
Hey, man, talking NFL brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out, PriorityMen'sMedical.com. United could be bringing back one of the most popular players ever. Could be electrifying. We'll talk to our man, Jason Longshore. Is this actually going to happen? Next. The make of it, but it sure sounds like it's gaining traction. The return of Miguel Almirón to Atlanta United. Jason, tell me about it.
This has been a wild, wild last couple of days. Like, I do my Atlanta Soccer Tonight show on Tuesday night. At 10 o'clock, there's no news about Miguel Almirón at that point. There's lots of news about the striker position, which we'll talk about as well, because both of those, there's been a wild series of updates over the last, I mean, what are we talking about, 36 hours? Where now Atlanta United, according to Sky Sports in England, is being linked with spending over $30 million to bring in two players. One would be Miguel Almirón. And the other would be Emmanuel Latelas, a striker from Middlesbrough, which would set a new Major League Soccer transfer record in terms of an amount spent for a player. That's pretty aggressive, pretty bold, and setting the table for a pretty fun 2025, eh?
What would they do for this team? with their skill set. We know about Miggy, but we don't assume that everybody's listening saw Miggy play when he was here. What do they do if this is to happen, and these rumors are accurate, do for Atlanta United?
Well, look, too, and I think, you know, you guys know this when we talk any other sport. What a player was in 2018 is probably not what they are in 2025. And especially when you're talking about somebody getting older and, you know, Miguel's only 30 years old, but he's played over 220 games for Newcastle. Mm. That's a decent bit of miles on his legs. Mm. He's still a very, very good player. He was a best 11 player his 2 years here in Atlanta. Explosive speed that, as we know, over time will dissipate a bit. Maybe he's not the same flying ostrich that he was at one point during his time here in Atlanta, but he's still really fast, and that left foot is still really dangerous. And I think if you look at anything that has changed the other way for a player who has been in England, played over 220 games at the highest level, you're going to be a smarter player after that experience. So where you might lose a step, you're going to gain that step back in soccer IQ if you've been doing what I think Miguel Almiron has. You know, he's 2 years removed from a double-digit goal scorer in the Premier League and helping Newcastle qualify for the Champions League.
Right.
He can play centrally as a 10. He can play on either wing, really. And I think as we're seeing the modern game evolve, players aren't locked into playing on one side anymore. You know, we watch Saba Lobjanidze play on the right, play on the left. It's about matchups. It's about how they can help the team and how the overall fit works. I think you can see Almiron play a number of different positions for this Atlanta United team and be incredibly impactful in them. And when you add in the striker that this team missed for the second half of last season, this attack could be incredibly dynamic.
Hey, I like that kind of party. I always joke around with Carl that with that, you know, that cheesy movie, Jason, Goal, The Dream Begins, about the kid from L.A. who goes to Newcastle.
Oh, I love that.
I love that movie,
yeah,
man. Santiago Muñoz. I always felt like Miggy was miscast. It always seemed like he had like the crusty British coach or whoever the coach was or whoever the guy. They never really felt him. And when he get on the pitch, you just said it, he make things happen, but he just never really got the traction he should have gotten there.
Yeah, they did a little bit. I think Eddie Howe, the current manager at Newcastle, when he came in, I think he got a good bit out of him. And again, it's a couple of seasons ago that Almiron was brilliant for Newcastle and a huge part of them qualifying for the Champions League. Anybody who scores double digits in the Premier League, especially when you're not a forward, you're doing something right. I'm with you. When he first went over there, you know, we're talking Rafa Benitez, and then we're talking Steve Bruce, and Steve Bruce is talking about playing him as an inside forward, like we're going back to formations from the 50s. I mean, just all kinds of weird conversations about what he was. I think when Eddie Howe used him, as we saw here in Atlanta, often centrally, that's when you saw the best from Almiron. Now, I do think in the way that Ronny Deila wants to play, your wingers, and especially when you think about Atlanta United in 2025, and you think about the overall construction of this team, you have two fullbacks in Brooks Lennon on the right and Pedro Amador on the left that both are capable of double-digit assists. So they can create and stretch the field wide. You're not asking your wingers necessarily to always stretch the field wide. They can come inside and combine and explode through the channels. As we saw for 2 years here in Atlanta, Miguel Almiron can do that as well as anybody who's ever played in Major League Soccer.
Hey, man, we're going to talk to Danny Cannell about Georgia. Can they ever get back in that national championship? What's going to happen on Monday? That's at 4 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about Atlanta United being very active. So, Jason, money to spend. We already talked about Miggy, and so you got to spend to do this. It's like a reverse transfer, basically. And there's another guy I read from Middlesbrough. I mean, how does this all work out?
Yeah, Emmanuel Lacalasse is an interesting one. A lot of people have expected Atlanta United to go get Kyogo Furuhashi from Celtic, who Atlanta has bought players from before, Yorgos Yakimakis being the last one. There had been talk about Kyogo coming to Atlanta last summer. It didn't happen. It's been talk through December about him coming to Atlanta in this window. It kind of stalled out, and nobody was really sure what was going on. Then all of a sudden, a report comes out of Italy about Atlanta making an offer to an English club, Middlesbrough, for Emmanuel Lacalasse, who is a national team player for the Ivory Coast. When I first saw that, I'm like, why is this coming out of Italy? This doesn't seem real. Mm-hmm. It is real because that's where his agent is from. And we know how agents work. They want to get conversations going about their players. Well, that got some conversations going. Emmanuel Latelath nearly went to a Premier League club on the last day of the transfer window in the summer. He didn't ultimately because Middlesbrough was not going to be able to go out and sign a replacement. They are now. And when you talk about both of these moves in combination, of course, Atlanta wants to get the deals done quickly because you want players to get here, be ready in preseason, be ready for opening day coming up in about a month's time. The two clubs in this case, Middlesbrough and Newcastle, both want to get these deals done quickly as well so they can go out and get replacements while their transfer window is open for the next 2 weeks. I think these moves are moving fast. It sounds like, according to the reporting, and this is a combination of reporting out of the U.S., reporting out of England, that there are agreements at various levels on both sides of this. Atlanta and Middlesbrough have reportedly verbally agreed on the transfer fee for Latelath, and Atlanta and Newcastle are very close to getting the deal done for Almiron, and it sounds like the salary terms and that side of it maybe is done. That. So still some missing pieces, but both deals feel like they're pretty far down the road.
Okay.
So the transfer fee is one thing. That's not what Miggy would make once he got here, right? They'd have to negotiate that salary. What will that look like?
Yeah, the salary separate.
Do we have any idea of what that would look like, considering now he's been one of the best international players?
Yeah, what I have seen, and one thing that hasn't really been talked about in the U.S. much on Almiron, was a Brazilian club, Atlético Mineiro, was very interested in bringing him in as well, but they didn't bid enough in the transfer fee. They weren't going to pay Newcastle enough to get him. In the articles out of Brazil, one of the other things that they said was that Atlanta offered more salary than anybody else would, and they said $5 million. Now, I don't know if that's ballpark, if that's accurate, if that's not close, if that's plus bonuses, no clue. And we wouldn't know really until the spring when the players union would release that information. But when you think about it, you look at the salary tables in the league, like once he's a designated player, you can spend whatever you want to spend. You're not worried about the cap at that stage. And you're expecting him to be an impact player. And look, I mean, Mike, I think you already said it. How many people on opening day, if Miguel Almiron's on this roster and in that lineup, are going to be wearing brand new Atlanta United Miguel Almiron jerseys with a brand new jersey coming out this year? I mean, come on.
Right. I'm with you. You know me, man. I don't want to be locked in the past, but we just 17 and 18 and much of 19 were just so magical. And I know beating Miami and getting to where we went this year was certainly unexpected. But yeah, that was just, man, I'm excited. I really am. And for the first time, excited about United and talking about it. Jason, as always, brother, we'll turn to you for more information as it breaks, but thanks so much for coming on.
I'll keep you posted. Make sure you're subscribed to Off the Woodwork, where we'll be posting updates with special podcasts and things that pop off, because there's going to be more to come.
Right.
Awesome.
On.
Awesome.
At Long Shoe, follow him, guys, on Twitter. We don't call it X, and you see what's going on with United. I mean, you and I have talked about this. I mean, blast from the past, but a guy's certainly got some gas in the tank.
I agree. And listen, Garth Lagerwey is trying, okay? He's attempting to make this team more entertaining and better. I commend him for that. We don't know if these are the right guys. We love Miggy for what he did here, but we got to wait to see. But I like the fact, Mike, that they're just not like, okay, we've been good. You guys still show up. We get 35, 40,000 in the building anytime we feel like it. Like, there's a commitment here. So, and we want them to be good. We know what it's like when they're good. So, this is great news.
Oh, man. Stoked. Hey, man, this hour of the program brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. I got to text our man, CCV. Craig Valentino's got my Miggy jersey. When he moved to California, I gave him all my United gear. Damn it.
Yeah, you ain't getting that back.
That's not coming back. Yeah, man. Hey, man. All right. Another $149 at MLS.com coming your way from me.
They're changing the kit, though, right?
Yeah. Can't wait to see what it's going to be about, man.
Yeah.
Vertical stripes are thinning. Let's keep with it. Hey, man, coming up next, we're going to do some Yeah, Man, No, Man. Chris is ready to rock on Dukes and Bell. Take you behind the curtain here on Dukes and Bell. I was telling Chris and Orin, you guys are up for a couple United games, right, if I get the tickets? I can't lie to you, Carl. I had those season tickets for 5 years, and I got out, you know, and just like a lot of United fans. I mean, look, you know me. I always preach loyalty and hanging in there, but, you know, I'm one of those guys. Carl made so much fun of me that day. I said I was moving to Coweta County. Like, you're not moving to Coweta. Yes. So now I'm that guy that's like, get my butt, you know, off the couch or, you know, out of the backyard, you know, on a summer afternoon. It's not as, you know, it's – in the old days, living in Midtown, like, yeah, let's go. Rock, we could walk over to Mercedes-Benz.
Sure.
Now I'm lazy. Anyway, it is interesting, though. I'm sure I'm not the only guy who's going online to AtlantaUnited.com, just curious what's going down, you know, as far as the potential of Miguel Almiron returning to this team. It is a Dukes and Bell. We may have a special guest coming in, Carl.
Yes. I'm looking at him right now. And Atlanta knows who he is. I think Tip's going to stop by here in a minute. Mm. T.I. in the building. And we're going to get a chance to talk to him about all these different things that he's got going on. So we look forward to that. Yeah, but I'm looking at him now. Now he's just standing outside and hanging out, talking to different folks. But, you know, we love bringing Atlanta folks on, man, and bringing everybody to the spot. What's up, T.I., babe?
Tip is in the house. Hey, man. What's up, man? Good to see you.
So, you know, we've had every and anybody on, and whenever this guy is around, we love to talk to him because he's so connected. He's so Atlanta. And he's doing a lot, man. He's got, a matter of fact, he's got a comedy show coming up, Mike.
Right.
It's going to be at Center Stage here in Atlanta on January 19th, Monday, January 20th. The Ha Ha Mafia. So we're going to talk to him about that. Man, how you doing, man? You look great.
Man, I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
You look like you're just living and enjoying life.
Yeah, doing the best I can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know, man. You got your hands in a lot of stuff right now, don't you?
Mm.
Talk a little bit about that, man, and diversifying and all this stuff. Like, we know what you know how you came up and, you know, Bankhead stand up. Everybody knows your story, at least here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I think worldwide, to be honest. But you have diversified yourself in a lot of different things, haven't you?
I've been blessed. And, you know, I have just thoughts, ideas, visions, that, you know, and also I'm sensitive to the needs of the community and the things I see around me, the things I see, the voids of things that could be missing. And I just try to utilize my talents, God-given, and just the resources that I have around me to fill those voids, and they just kind of get me in a lot of things, you know what I mean? You know, one of them, I think our latest venture, me and Killer Mike, we just reopened Bankhead Seafood.
Congratulations.
Man, thank you. Thank you. It's doing real well. And, you know, we're a community-based restaurant. You know, we do sell fried fish and french fries and salads and salmon, shrimp. But,
right.
but more than anything, like, we are a community based place where people can come, and we service the community and sensitive to the needs of the community. I also had Trap City Cafe, which is, you know what I'm saying, a little more, how can I say? Slightly different ambiance.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
More shenanigans.
Yeah, if you will, you know what I'm saying? I think that, but again, nestled in the community, there is nowhere else for people who live I guess you could say in the Bluff or Upper West Side or however you say, ain't a lot of places for the natives of that community that they can go and feel comfortable and safe and, you know what I'm saying, enjoy themselves, eat, drink, kick it, have good food and a good time. So Trap City Cafe is one of those places. And also we have the Trap Music Museum, where we celebrate the culture of what we now know as trap music and the most significant contributors to it. And it's the first of its kind, also right there in the community next to the cafe on Travis Street off of Northside, up the street from Simpson Road, what was Simpson Road.
Right.
Yeah, so, but this particular venture is comedy. So, you know, I'm shooting my first comedy special, my journey in comedy. My comedic journey has brought me here to where it's time to shoot a special. We're going to do that at Center Stage. We're doing it Sunday the 19th. We're going to be two shows, 7:30, 10 o'clock. So get your tickets right now, Ticketmaster. Or you can go, you know what I'm saying, to the box office at Center Stage.
It's a great venue. Tip is in the house. T.I. is here. Are these local comics? Are they just from all over the country? How'd you develop these guys?
Well, this is, okay, so I started January 12th, 2022. You know what I mean? I started doing comedy then, and it was on the heels of me finishing my first film that I directed called Departments. Mm-hmm. Which you can get on All Black right now. And I had so much fun doing it, and I always had, you know, real close ties to the comedy community. A lot of my good friends are comedians, Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle, Mike Epps, K-Dub, you know, Erica Dutchess, DC Young Fly. So I always just felt very comfortable around comedians and always just so in a social circle full of comedians. And I just, you know, K-Dub really, just, I think out of spite, just threw me on stage one day just to see what, you know, see what would happen. And I fell in love with it, and I just started doing it then, been doing it ever since. And I just kind of sent a group text out of the people who I was spending the most time around in comedy and basically deriving from our experience from the apartments. And I put together a syndicate of comedians called the Ha Ha Mafia. And they've been helping to lead, guide, direct, shape, mold my comedic journey. And I've been, in turn, just trying to shine a larger spotlight on their efforts and their talents, because I feel like the world should have been heard on. People like Jay Ski from Virginia, people like Nav Green from Atlanta, people like Ronnie Jordan here in Atlanta, people like comedian K-Dub from Memphis, people like Erica Dutchess, you know what I'm saying? Like people like Tyler Chronicles from L.A. Like, I just feel like, you know, people should have been aware of these, you know, these comedians. And they do shows, you know, they move around and work, but I just don't feel like the attention has broadened to the point where their talent suggests it should be. So I'm trying to do a hand in helping.
Do you think, T.I., now that you're in this area and you're in it and around it, Mike and I talk about it all the time. Like, we love comedy, but we also know how sensitive people are now.
It's hard.
Yeah. And it is. And I say that because you have some comedians, like you mentioned Chappelle and Kevin Hart. They're at a level where they can challenge, right, the norms of what people feel like, hey, you can and can't say those things and still make it funny and get away with it. I'm just curious, like, have you taken that on or, hey, do what you do?
In my way, I think that, man, you got to have that IDGAF, you know what I'm saying?
Right on.
That's what... That's what you get paid to do. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, people who get paid to juggle knives, you know what I'm saying? You paying them to see whether or not they get cut. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I feel like, that's what comedy is. You know, you get paid to go out there and take the risk. Right. Take the risk of, you know, speaking about things that, you know, will your talent allow you to tread the line of, you know, acceptance and make people laugh. And if you win, then you get to go again. You know what I'm saying? but if not, you know, then not.
Right.
So I think that's the dare. That's the balance of risk involved. And that's what makes it beautiful. I think that's the beauty of it. That's why I'm attracted to it. Because at the same time, it's also... it's also therapeutic. It's a level of peace associated with it. You know what I mean? To not have to be so concerned about being politically correct.
Bingo. Right.
Saying what people want you to say, doing what people want
you to say. Or what they wouldn't say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, it's a freedom.
It is T.I. with us, guys. Tip is live here in studio on Dukes and Bell. And I just found out that you are a grandfather again. Congratulations.
Yeah, man. Three. I got three grandkids now. Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
Thanks for mentioning
that.
Yeah.
A little birdie just put it in my ear, man. Sorry about that.
Yeah. So much for all of the young talent that I could have recruited. You know, I guess. Yeah. All right, so all the aunties, y'all come on out to the comedy show, man. All the aunties and the grandmas, y'all come on out, check me out.
That's going to be fun.
Nah, man, but it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever had the pleasure of experiencing. And, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
No doubt. I got to ask, big Marvel guy.
Mm.
you performed the soundtrack on the Deadpool and Wolverine. and look, movie was great. It's funny. Yeah. For those who don't, you know, are not in it, I'm sorry. You guys are missing out.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, when they approach you about that, right?
How do you
and
do
like,
that?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, hey, T.I., we want to use you. And I'm sure, you know, obviously with the licensing and whatnot, that's yeah. that's a but nice little take home.
Do you read the script or do you know what's going on or you just make it happen?
Nah, man. They just send the request with, you know, with the necessary information on there.
I love it.
You know, now sometimes, you know, you can request to ask to see the scene, to see what context it was.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes.
Because you want to know how they're using it.
Yeah, but sometimes if the necessary information is, you know.
Correct.
If it's according to my standards, then, you know, you can bypass, you can waive the, you know, the need to see it. You know what I'm saying? You know what, I kind of got something, give me the. If I got a sneaky suspicion y'all gonna do the right thing. I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna let y'all rock out. I trust your creative vision.
I love it. I love it. And if you don't get his drift, man, you don't get it.
They picking up what I'm putting down.
I hope so.
I think they smell what I'm cooking.
Tip, you have said you're done with performing. Is this true?
I said I was retiring.
Okay. So
like
you
retiring and done with performing is not exactly the same.
Okay.
Thing.
So but you will be willing to obviously do some things.
I will be far more selective in my choice of venues and business partners and events that I would be inclined to do. I'm just gonna be a little more, you know.
Because you can.
Yeah. I mean, and minimize the risk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think, you know what I'm saying? You know, every artist has, I guess, a time in which they run at a very, very high level, you know what I'm saying? And they move around day to day, in and out of airports, city to city to city. And I did that 22 years, man. And now, if you want to move me, it got to be really something I want to do and something that's worth doing for real. And the money ain't enough no more.
Mm.
You feel me? It ain't just, like, the money just ain't enough no more. Because the same amount of money that you asked me to do this, I could go to the mailbox for that money. You know, so, I mean, but the Lord has blessed me.
For sure.
To be in such a position. So I just don't have to run myself raggedy no more. So not to say I won't ever do anything, but I'm going to do what's worth doing to me.
T.I., man, we appreciate you, brother.
Man,
I'm glad you stopped by. Right. And again, I want to give out the information. Center Stage.
Yes.
Sunday, January 19th, Monday, right. January 20th.
That's right.
The Ha Ha Mafia.
Yeah.
Both shows.
Mm-hmm.
You got tickets available, Ticketmaster.com.
That's right.
And you can head over to T.I. social media and check out more information. So
absolutely.
There's a lot of stuff out there, man. Listen, brother, I'm just glad you're doing different things.
Man,
we get
you.
So... Mm. Like tunnel vision,
right?
And you know, we love your music. We love what you've done for the A.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things like, when T.I. gonna do something? T.I. is just like everybody else, man. He's doing different things.
I mean, I think that all the like that tunnel vision that you talk about and being fit in the box, it comes from, you know, getting caught in the necessities of life. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, you know, we can't dream because we so focused on paying bills. You know, and sometimes, man, a salary is what they pay you to take your mind off your dreams. You feel me?
Right.
So if you are fortunate enough to have made it to a place where you can afford to dream more so than just focus on paying bill, and, man, get out there and start dreaming because that's when you truly live to your full potential.
Love it.
Awesome.
Man. Appreciate you, brother.
Right on.
Nothing like having you on the show. We always appreciate you stopping by.
Really
go check out the show, guys.
You dig.
Center Stage, January 19th, Monday, January 20th. All right, Mike, we got to talk about some college football. We're going to do that.
Danny Cannell is going to join us next. Talk about, is Gorge get back in there, and what does he think about this? Is this championship going to be a beatdown from Ohio State on Monday?
You think it is.
I'm leaning that way, man.
All right, we're going to come back. We'll do that. Go check out Tip's comedy show, man. Stooks and Bell.